The gospel for today is about Jesus turning water into wine. And that kind of fits in with where we're living, doesn't it? I've lived in the Barossa now for 15 years, but I can't say that I've become a connoisseur of wine. Some years back, I demonstrated that I was not a connoisseur at all. I was invited by Pastor Detlef Voskro, some of you might know him, he's a real connoisseur of wine. I was invited to go to Canberra to visit him and his congregation there. And his congregation had formed a wine club. And so I was invited to go along and with all the other participants in the wine club to do this blind tasting session. So we had these wines lined up. We didn't know what they were, and we just did this blind tasting. And we were supposed to make comments, intelligent comments, about the wines. Now, to me, they tasted like wine, just a little bit different from one another. And I couldn't make any intelligent comments at all, except to say that I like this one better than that one. So I wrote down which one I preferred. As it turned out, when the wines were revealed what they were, the one I chose was $5 from Woolies. And those who had sophisticated palates, who knew what they were doing, didn't rate that wine at all. Now, this is not an invitation for any of you to offload your worst wine onto me. Those in the club who were more like connoisseurs were able to make intelligent comments about the wine, about the aroma and the palate and the texture and the finish, and give descriptions of wines that sounded like a bold, spice-driven red with dark fruit richness, peppery lift, and a generous, warming finish. I couldn't write that. So here we have two different ways of approaching wine tasting. One way is the unsophisticated way, my way. That one tastes better to me than this one. And the other way is the way of a person who has real knowledge and real appreciation of wine and can express that in words. Now, we can look at this gospel story about Jesus turning water into wine in two similar ways. One is the unsophisticated way. That goes like this. Jesus went to the wedding and he felt sorry for the host of the wedding and the guests there as well. And the host was going to be badly embarrassed and the guests are going to be really disappointed. For them, a wedding without wine was like a pub with no beer. So Jesus came to the rescue and he supplied them with a really top drop so that the wedding could kick on for a few more days. Well, weddings in those times lasted for days. And with this miracle, Jesus showed his power and his compassion for people and demonstrated that he wasn't just another rabbi, but he really was the Son of God come to live among us. So that's the simple way. The second way is to act like a connoisseur and spend some time discovering the richness and the subtleties of the story. And this second way suits the Gospel of John particularly well, because John's Gospel is a deep Gospel. To really get to appreciate John's Gospel, you have to dive deep down into it. So this is what I invite you to do today, to dive deep down and taste the gospel message and savour it and appreciate the goodness of God in it. Okay. So the very first sniff of this gospel, you know what wine connoisseurs do, the very first sniff of this gospel takes us back to the Old Testament reading, which we didn't hear this morning, but which is scheduled for this day. And that Old Testament reading's from the prophet Isaiah, where the prophet sees a bride and a bridegroom. And he sees that God is going to come to his people and be their bridegroom. And the people of Israel are going to be God's bride. And this is something that expressed the deep longing of the people of Israel. They longed for God, their God, to come and take them as their bride. And what John is saying here, and he's telling us about Jesus attending a wedding, is that with the coming of Jesus, the day has arrived. The bridegroom has come. Jesus is God come to live among us. God in human form. And the bride is the church. The bride is us. And we can see the beginnings of the church in this gospel story. Mary is there. And the disciples who believe in Jesus are there with him. There we have the beginnings of a church. Right, that's the first sniff, if you like, of this gospel. Moving on. Now in the gospel, Mary learns that the wine is finished and she lets Jesus know about it. She says, they've run out of wine. And what she's doing is she's hinting to Jesus that he should do something about it. And she's kind of saying to him, look, you can do something about it. After all, you're not just my son. You are the Son of God. And Jesus says this in response, my time has not yet come. Now, in John's gospel, Jesus' time refers to his death and his resurrection. The cross and the tomb reveal who Jesus is and why he has come. On the cross, Jesus pours out his life for us. And then on the third day, he rises again to show us that he's won the victory over sin and death for us. That's Jesus' time. Now, here I'd like to show you a picture, if I can. Right, this is a picture of done by an Ethiopian Christian. It's the centre picture of a great big cloth I've got called a hunger cloth, and it's got other pictures around it. And in this picture, we see Jesus, not on a cross, but on a wine press. And a wine press is used to press the grapes down so they are crushed, huh? And the juice flows out. And here, Jesus is being crushed by the sin and suffering of the world. And then his blood flows out, and it flows into all the other little pictures that are at the, on the corner that you can't see. All the other pictures flows out into all the suffering and sinful people in the world to bring them the grace and healing of God. All right. This is the time when the glory of God shines most clearly through Jesus. All right, what else can we know? Well, in this story, Jesus tells the servants of the wedding to fill 6 stone jars with water and then draw some out and take what they've drawn out to the master of ceremonies at the wedding. They do what he tells them to do, and when the master of ceremonies tastes what they've drawn out, he goes into raptures. He says, how good is this? How good is this? This is marvellous wine. Why didn't you serve it at the beginning when people could have appreciated it better? Now, I've been to Cana in Galilee where this took place, and I've seen some of the stone jars. Can we see pictures of the jars? Oh, there they are. They're 2/3 of the size of a 44-gallon drum, I suppose. And they hold about 100 litres of water. And in Jesus' time, the Jewish people stored water in there for the purposes of washing. And the washing was not so much that they should be clean, hygienically clean, but that they should be pure and holy to be in the presence of God. And they knew that God had called them to be his special people. And so this washing sort of set them apart, kind of dedicated them to God. Now what Jesus does is he turns the water in those stone jars into wine. And this action has a deeper truth underneath it. With the coming of Jesus, we no longer live under the covenant of law, under the rules of Moses, all right? We live under what Jesus called the new covenant, the covenant of grace. The law of God shows us our sin, and the grace of God forgives us. It makes us holy. It makes us fit to be the bride of Christ, and it also gives us joy. All right, now we come to the very last of my tasting notes, if you like. The apostle tells us that turning the water into wine was the first of seven miracles Jesus performed, the recording in John's gospel, seven miracles. And John calls these miracles signs. These miracles are signs of who Jesus is. He's not just another rabbi, not just a great healer and teacher. He's the Son of God come to live among us. Now, God also calls you and me to be signs of God to others. When you hear somebody's going through a rough patch and you call on them or drop them a note or phone them up or visit them and pray with them, you are a sign of God's love and care for that person. Thursday of this week, I heard that one of my classmates from when I attended Concordia years ago was in the Royal Adelaide Hospital. I couldn't get there to visit him, so I called another friend who lives in Adelaide and told him and said, look, if you've got time, you might drop in on this person. Now, he's not a pastor, but he did. He called in and visited this sick mate of ours. And his love and care was a sign of God's love and care for the sick person, and also a sign that God had been at work in his life. He just wasn't a selfish person. He's somebody who had been changed, transformed to care and go out of his way to visit somebody else. Today, God's grace is here for you and me. Comes to us in the Word, comes to us in the sacrament of Holy Communion. And like the wine that Jesus made, God's grace is free and abundant and sweet, and it has the power to change us, to transform us, to make us more like Jesus. So come, my friends, come and drink deeply, be filled with the grace and goodness of God, and in this coming week, be a sign of God's love to somebody who really needs it. Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you for your care for us. Put your love within us so that we can use our gifts to love and care for others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.